Thursday, April 24th. The lesson from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. In those days an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise, go toward the south, to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." And rising up he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasures, had come to Jerusalem to adore. And he was returning, sitting in his chariot, and reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip, running thither, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "Thinkest thou that thou understandest what thou readest?" Who said, "And how can I, unless some man show me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb without voice before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In humility his judgment was taken away. His generation who shall declare? For his life shall be taken from the earth." And the eunuch answering Philip said, "I beseech thee, of whom doth the prophet speak this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip, opening his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answering said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached the gospel to all the cities, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Haydock Commentary. The eunuch is likely a proselyte converted to the Jewish religion. He shows his zeal and devotion, says St. John Chrysostom, not only by coming to Jerusalem, but by reading the prophets in his chariot. In the eunuch's words, "How can I unless someone show me?" let everyone, and especially the unlearned, take good notice of these words, not to wrest the scriptures to his own perdition. To follow his own private judgment or his private spirit is to make choice of a blind and incompetent guide as to the sense of the scriptures and the mysteries of faith. It appears this eunuch was not one of those who are now so commonly seen, who think the scripture is everywhere plain and the sense open to everybody. Such people would do much better to acknowledge that they stand in need of a guide. St. Jerome, in his letter to Paulinus, printed at the head of the Latin Bibles, shows the necessity of an interpreter. The apostles themselves could not understand the scriptures till Christ gave them the knowledge. See Luke 24:45. The eunuch, by divine providence, was reading the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which is of Christ and his sufferings. When St. Philip says that he can be baptized if he believes, the scripture many times mentions one disposition when others no less necessary are supposed, as here would also be needed a sorrow for sins, a firm hope and love of God. Faith is seen here to be a necessary predisposition in the adult for the reception of baptism. They must answer for themselves, but infants are baptized into the faith of the Church. Their sponsors who receive them from the font answer for them. And as their defilement was not personal but that of others, so are they purified by the faith of others. We are not to suppose that in the administration of the sacraments in the primitive church, nothing more was done than what we read. St. Augustine explains this when he says, "Insomuch that he saith, Philip baptized him, he would have it understood that all things were done, which, though in the scripture for brevity's sake they are not mentioned, yet by order of tradition we know were to be done." The Gospel from John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. At that time, Mary stood at the sepulchre without, weeping. Now as she was weeping, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and she saw two angels in white, sitting one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid. They say to her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and she knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith to her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, thinking it was the gardener, saith to him, "Sir, if thou hast taken him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith to her, "Mary." She, turning, saith to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus saith to her, "Do not touch me, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene cometh and telleth the disciples, "I have seen the Lord, and these things he said to me." From the Great Commentary by Cornelius a Lapide. Mary stood at the sepulchre weeping because she anxiously looked about on every side for the body of Jesus, as glowing in love for him, and was beside herself, and not finding him, wept for grief. St. Augustine says, "The eyes who sought but found him not had leisure to weep, and sorrowed more for his being taken from the tomb than that he had died on the cross, because not even a memorial remained of so great a teacher whose life had been taken away." She looked in even though before she had looked and saw that the sepulchre was empty. For, as says St. Gregory, a single look suffices not one who loves. The power of love increases the earnestness of the inquiry. She persevered in seeking, and accordingly she found. And so it was that her desires expanded and increased, and could thus take in that which they found. Origen says that, mystically, the angel at the feet represented the active, the angel at the head, the contemplative life. For they are both of them from Jesus, about Jesus, through Jesus, and on account of Jesus. They say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? This is no place for weeping, but rather for rejoicing and being glad. Because thou seest not here the dead body of thy beloved one, thou oughtest to infer that Jesus has risen and is no longer among the dead, but among the living. And more than this, that he is passing a blessed and heavenly life among the glorious angels, such as we are ourselves." Christ appeared behind the Magdalene so that the angels who beheld him rose up and bowed their heads and exhibited other tokens of reverence and adoration towards him. And this is why she turned around, namely to see who it was whom the angels saluted so reverently. She didn't know it was Jesus because he appeared in the form of the gardener, just as he appeared in the form of a stranger at Emmaus. For glorified bodies can put on any appearance they please, not by changing their own appearance, but by presenting only a refracted appearance to the sight of others. Christ did this in order that she should not be startled. He appeared to her in consequence of her intense love to him. But because she did not believe that he was alive, he veiled himself from her, and presented himself to her outward sight as the person she fancied him to be. So says St. Gregory. He called her not merely by her own name, but with that tone of voice, that sweetness, grace, and efficacy with which he used to speak to her, and she at once recognized him. Her spirit then revived and her senses returned, and when he wished to add something more, she could not wait, but from excess of joy she interrupted him, saying, "Rabboni," for she thought that having found the word, she did not require a single word more, and she deemed it more profitable to touch the word than to hear any words whatever. O vehement and impatient love! It was not enough for her to see Jesus and to talk with him, unless she also touched him, for she knew that virtue went out from him and healed all. Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." This is a difficult passage, and the connection between the two parts is even more difficult. St. Augustine explains the connection thus: "Touch me not, for as yet thou art not worthy to touch me, for in thy thoughts regarding me I have not as yet ascended to my Father, for as yet thou dost not perfectly believe that I am the Son of God and that I ascend to my Father." St. Jerome explains it much in the same way, but this is a mystical rather than a literal explanation, as also is that of St. Leontius, who says, "I do not wish you to approach me bodily or recognize me with thy bodily senses. I reserve thee for higher things. I am preparing thee for greater things. When I shall have ascended to my Father, then wilt thou touch me more perfectly and truly, for thou wilt comprehend that which thou touchest not, and believe that which thou seest not." He says, "My Father and your Father, mine by nature, yours by grace," as St. Augustine says, to show that they had in common God as their Father. He as his Father by nature, they by adoption. Moreover, St. Hilary says, "He is his Father as of all others in respect of his human nature, and God as he is the God of all men in that nature in which he is a servant, for God the only begotten is without brethren." But it is simpler to say that he called him "my Father" to designate his own divine nature, and "my God" to set forth the human nature he had assumed, and that thus he was very God and very man. So says St. Ambrose. He tells Mary Magdalene to tell the apostles to banish their fear and sorrow, "For I have risen from the dead and love them as brethren, and therefore shall soon ascend to heaven to prepare a place for them, that they may follow me thither, and that I may send them the Holy Spirit from thence to make them resolute preachers of my gospel." Mary came and told the disciples. She thus became an apostle and evangelist to the apostles. And accordingly, when she was driven into exile by the Jews and arrived at Marseille, she preached the gospel to the people there, and she fully deserved this honor by her glowing love to Christ, her faith and constancy, which led her to the sepulchre by herself at early dawn, when she waited patiently till she saw her Jesus.